is Dan Sheridan bringing you the great news of God's transcendent grace. Happy Friday. We're going to end the week on a bang with the great message of God's grace found in Romans chapter 5. And again, bear with me, still feeling a little bit under the weather, but we will get through it today. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 2, let's take a look at it. Paul starts off by saying, "Being then justified by faith, we may be having peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, we were talking about the schizophrenic Christianity, how people today, because they blend the scriptures, they blend the truths of Paul's letters with that of Hebrews and Matthew and other portions of the Word of God, that they end up either ignoring or modifying or blending the Word of God. And when you do that, most people are afraid of grace. They're afraid to trust the grace of God, and they gravitate toward the judgment passages and think somehow that they apply to them. So they'll go to those passages in Matthew that really have nothing to do with them and think they're doomed because of something they did or said. Men don't naturally gravitate toward the grace of God. That's been true since the Garden of Eden. But we need to correct that. Trust God. Trust His love and grace. Paul says we are justified by faith, and since that is true, we may be having peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no warfare. God is not at war with you. He wants you to enjoy this peace completely. Romans chapter 3 settles the question. In verse 21, Paul says this, "Yet now apart from law." You know, the word law in Hebrew means to aim at something. And that's what people do who are living under law. They're trying to aim at a standard and try to live up to something. But now, apart from law, apart from us aiming, "a righteousness of God is manifest." Notice it's God's righteousness being attested by the law and the prophets. "Yet a righteousness of God through Jesus Christ's faith for all and on all who are believing." Notice it's God's righteousness. It's through Jesus Christ's faith. Jesus Christ's faith, not yours. Jesus Christ lived a life of faith, and when he laid down his life, when he died, he believed that his Father would raise him from the dead. Imagine that. It was his faith that justifies us. And it's for all and on all those who are believing. "For there is no distinction, for all sinned and are wanting of the glory of God." And notice verse 24, "being justified gratuitously in his grace through the deliverance which is in Christ Jesus." Notice the very same moment a person is wanting of the glory of God, the very next moment he's justified gratuitously. There's no process in justification. Justification isn't a path or a road that leads away into life or anything like that. It's something that happens instantaneously, justified gratuitously. Now notice that word gratuitously. I love that word in the Concordant version. We can see what it means by looking at it in another context. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 8. I will be turning there with you. Looking at verse 7, "For you yourselves are aware how you must be imitating us, for we are not disorderly among you, neither do we eat bread gratuitously from anyone, but with toil and labor we are working night and day so as not to be burdensome to any of you." Now notice the opposite here. Paul says we didn't eat bread gratuitously from anyone. In other words, we didn't just get a free ride, but he says we toil and labor night and day working. So gratuitously is opposite of toiling and laboring and working. It's something you don't work for. Now in Romans 2:7, in the judgment, God pays each person in accord with their acts. Judgment is based on your work and toil, your acts. Read Revelation 20 in the Great White Throne. But justification is gratuitous. There's no payment. In justification, there are no standards to aim at apart from law. Remember, law means to aim. Number two, we pay nothing. And number three, we earn nothing. Justification is gratuitous. And it's God's righteousness. It's through Jesus Christ's faith. And it's all for the glory of God. And then, having understood that, Paul says in Romans 5, "being then justified by faith, we may be having peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then it continues, "through whom we have the access also by faith into this grace in which we stand." We stand right now in grace. Now notice Paul says it's this grace, the very grace in which we stand. You know, the Apostle Peter wrote to the 12 tribes, and Peter talked about the grace in which they stood. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 10, we read this, "Now the God of all grace, who calls you into his aeonian glory in Christ, while briefly suffering, he will be adjusting, establishing, firming, founding you. To him be glory and might for the eons of the eons. Amen." Now notice verse 12, "Through Silvanus, a faithful brother, as I am reckoning, I write briefly to you, entreating and deposing that this is the true grace of God in which you are to stand." Now that's Peter writing to the dispersed Jews who are part of that kingdom message, who are waiting for that blessed hope for the Jews. And look at 1 Peter 1. Look at 1 Peter 1 verse 10 to show you what I mean. 1 Peter 1 10 is speaking about the salvation that's going to be brought to the Jews. Verse 10, "Concerning which salvation," Peter writes, "the prophets seek out and search out, who prophesy concerning the grace which is for you, searching into what or what manner of error the Spirit of Christ in them made evident when testifying beforehand to the sufferings pertaining to Christ and the glories after these, to whom it was revealed that not to themselves but to you they dispense them, of which you are now informed through those who are bringing the evangel to you by Holy Spirit dispatched from heaven, into which messengers are yearning to peer." Now notice who this is written to. It is written to those who were of the chosen expatriates of the dispersion. This is the message of the Jews concerning their kingdom. It's a message that was prophesied, that the prophets spoke of, about the glories that was going to be brought to these people. This was their evangel, as we read here in 1 Peter 1, 10 through 12. And it's the grace in which they are to stand in 1 Peter 5, 12. But in Romans 5, here we have a grace, this grace in which we stand, we Gentiles. It's different in that which Peter and the 12 dispensed to the nation of Israel. Our grace is even better than that. You know, there are measures of grace. Paul talked about the measures of grace. When Paul talks about grace, he adds words to it. We have grace exceeding. As a matter of fact, not only is our grace different, but it wasn't prophesied. According to Ephesians chapter 3, Paul talks about the evangel which he became a dispenser of in accord with the gratuity of the grace of God. This is 3 verse 7, which is granted to me in accord with his powerful operation. And what is this? If you look down in verse 1 of chapter 3, "On this behalf, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you the nations, since surely you hear of the administration of the grace of God that is given to me for you, for by revelation the secret is made known to me." And it's a secret that, according in verse 9, the administration of the secret which has been concealed from the eons in God who creates all. So the grace brought to us through Paul's letters wasn't in the prophets. It wasn't prophesied like the grace brought to the Jews in Peter's letter. And one other thing we read in Ephesians chapter 2, I started off by saying there are measures of grace. In Ephesians 2, we read this, that Paul says in the oncoming eons, verse 7, he should be displaying the transcendent riches of his grace and his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So in the coming eons, those Jews under Peter's ministry are going to be marveling at the grace that came to us, the transcendent grace. You know, we talk about this at the beginning of every program. We're talking about the transcendent grace that is for us. Paul talks about overwhelming grace. Grace super exceeds, Romans 5:20. Super abounds in Romans 5:15. The superabundance of grace, Romans 5:17. The riches of his grace in Ephesians 1:7. And the transcendent riches of his grace in Ephesians 2:7. So Paul says here in Romans 5 that we have access into this grace in which we stand. We stand there permanently. That's where we're at. We constantly stand in grace. And not only that, not only are we justified in the past and we stand justified, we have present access into this grace in which we stand. Sin can't ruin it. Sin can't harm our position. Nothing can harm our position. And then it says at the end of verse 2, "And we may be glorying," that's a word for boasting, "in expectation of the glory of God." And that is referring to the snatching away when we meet the Lord in the air. There is no fear for us in this event. The second coming of Christ has no fear attached to it. However, it was different for Israel that way. If you turn to Matthew 24, we read something interesting here in verse 43 of Matthew 24. "Now that be knowing, for if the householder were aware in what watch the thief is coming, he would watch. It would not let his house be tunneled into. Therefore, you also become ready, for in an hour which you are not supposing, the Son of Mankind is coming." There was some fear connected with the second coming for Israel and the grace that's brought to them. But there is no fear in that event for us. We may be glorying in expectation of the glory of God. As a matter of fact, in 1 Thessalonians 4, we read something tremendous here. The Jews were warned that they needed to watch, but listen to what it says about us. In verse 8 of 1 Thessalonians 5, we read this. Yet we, being of the day, may be sober, putting on the cuirass of faith and love and the helmet, the expectation of salvation. For God did not appoint us to indignation, but to be procuring of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sakes, that whether we may be watching or drowsing, notice that, whether watching or drowsing, we should be living at the same time together with Him. Whether we're watching for this snatching away or whether we fall asleep, maybe don't serve the Lord as well, it doesn't matter. We at the same time, we're going to be living together with Him. We're going to be at the same time snatched away together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:17. And that's a little bit different for Israel. No wonder Paul can say this, and we may be glory in expectation of the glory of God. To sum up, We're justified by faith. That means we can have peace toward God. Nothing but peace. Enjoy it. Trust it. And not only that, we have this access by faith into this very grace in which we, members of the body of Christ, stand. Nothing can shake our standing, not even our sins. Trust this. Believe it. And not only that, we may be glorying in expectation of the glory of God. No fear in that event. We're waiting for the Son. That's what we're doing. We're waiting for the Son. Isn't this wonderful? No fear. Trust God's grace. Don't curl up in a ball wondering if you measure up. There's nothing to aim at. Knowing this is going to be the greatest motivation to service. I'm out of breath on this one. This is fantastic news. I hope you trust it. Coming up on Monday, we're going to start talking about a very important topic on the nature of mankind and the person of Christ. So stay tuned for that. This is going to be foundational stuff. I've discussed it before in the past if you've listened to Sheridan Voice for any length of time, but it's time to go back to that again. People need to know what is man and who is Christ. So we're going to talk about that starting next week. This is Dan Sheridan. I hope you have a great week. And remember this, the closer you draw near to God as He's revealed through the correctly cut scriptures, the less religious and ceremonial you will be. Have a great weekend.